our time in the best possible way. I wanted to just tell you a few instances of compassion in the I have one thing to tell you from the Buddhistic canon and two leelas from our Vaishnav background. But before starting, I really wish to encourage you to go a little bit through the retreat. I want to tell you a little bit of my anxiety, you could almost say. We spent a very significant time of our days together. We were really intensely working or trying to look a little bit into the tree of life. And I want to say intensely, because I think when we heard that today we have a pause, we went like, oh, thank you, what a good idea that we dropped one workshop. So it was an intense time, and you especially really applied yourself to the task ahead of you. You were participating in the exercises as far as I could see. You were even going out of your comfort zone, you know, this looking into someone's eyes whom you don't know is really like, sometimes people who are less stable, who are not yet grounded, see demons in the other person's eye. It can get scary, and it needs the intervention of a trained psychologist sometimes. I looked at you. You're good people, and no problem. You're all right. I saw some of you taking notes, but still, it is a little bit my anxiety that will you be able to take something significant from this prolonged weekend into your lives. And for this, we will make tomorrow a very nice exercise where we will teach you a nice method how to affect inner change, really. But I want to alert you to two things which you could do. You could study the principles which we described, like how do you develop the mode of sattva, by sangha, by association. And also, I want to encourage you to register for the Amrita Bani training newsletter of this Tree of Life retreat in Australia. That is most probably the easiest way to make good use out of your time, because you will be able to review just the essential points, and usually those who give retreats know best what are the essential points, because maybe they're not capable to really deliver them in a very clear-cut way, but they know how to write them down. So you will be able to review the essential points, plus some exercises which will help you to implement them in your daily lives. So I think Bhanu Nandini said one can put his email address somewhere there, is it correct, in the back, and then you will be sent these training newsletters every 2 weeks. Not so this only for 4 days, so it will. And it's not much to read. I can promise you. I also am afraid of the computer because there's always so many emails inside. It is brief. It is tasty. It is practical. So, yeah, these two things I would like to say. Also, it's good to start already living with one principle which made sense to you, and then develop a habit. It usually is enough if you take one new thing out of a retreat or a seminar, and it's confusing if you take many new things at once. Good. So this is my anxiety, that you really take something. Please believe me, I'm really have that, you know, I may be not good in so many fields of my spiritual life, but I really have that intention to serve you. That's why we do this and travel all over, to really do something or give our participants something which is useful for the remainder of their life. That is really my personal motivation. So I'm at this stage a little anxious. Hopefully they will really get something out of this which will enhance their life. Fine, so we will now quickly go into this evening. Please sing nicely. Your task is to sing and to listen to some Krishna katha. Yeah. Oh, Janardan, we feel bereft without you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Of true compassion. What I have to relate to you today in the evening is just so wonderful and delight producing that I feel encouraged to narrate something about compassion in our tradition. My words may be unfit, but even if ordinary well water touches the Shalagram Shila, it becomes Charanamrita. So even ordinary words spoken by an ordinary person, when they touch the glories of Lord Krishna and his dear devotees, can become meaningful and spiritually enlivening. To develop compassion is the main dharma of all living entities who have taken to the path of Vaishnava Dharma. Our spiritual father, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the originator of our glorious Sampradaya, told to his devotees that they must observe only three principles, and that this would prepare their path back home, back to Godhead. One is Nama Ruchi, developing taste in the holy name, something which we will try to do this evening and tomorrow evening. The second is to serve the dear devotees of the Lord, Vaishnav Seva. And the third is Jiva Daya, to show compassion to the living beings. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not just a theoretical teacher. No, he was very practical. In one of these incidents, which I would like to narrate to you this evening, is how he delivered Vasudev, the leper. From this pastime, you will be able to read the mind of the Lord and understand more about Jiva Daya, or mercy to the living beings. You will also understand how the compassion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is different than anything you have heard about in relationship to compassion here in this world. It was when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his South India tour. We hear from his biographers that he would start his travels very early in the morning, just before sunrise, when the sun was rising in the eastern horizon. Mahaprabhu would be ready and leave the village in which he stayed for the night, and leave his hosts, who often would walk with him for some way, and then faint when he finally bid them farewell. So, on one such morning, he left the South Indian village, the Kurma village as it is known, and he went to proceed in his travels down south. Now, as he was in that village, he had spent the evenings with ecstatic chanting, and his enigmatic or electrifying bhakti, by which he put bhakti in the hearts of everyone who was close by. News of this had spread throughout the area, and it spread also into one place in which misery reigned. It was the place where Vasudev the leper resided. You must know that leprosy is a terrible disease, and it is terrible for two reasons. One is, it is very painful. Someone who is leper will observe how his bodily limbs are really melting away. That's the only way you can describe it. Then don't want really to go into such a detail, but fingers and nose and all the other extremities begin to just rot away from the body, and because it is so absolutely infectious, it is painful for another reason. Lepers are not kept in the communities and in the villages. They have to move outside so that the danger of infection is eliminated as much as possible. So this poor soul Vasudev suffered terribly with this disease, and he was all alone. There was no one to solace him. So, but news reached to where he lived somehow or other, and on that day where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the village, he finally could get it together and move with excruciating pain towards the village, hoping to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and somehow obtain his blessings. But as he came to the edge of the village and inquired from some disconsolate farmers who were just agonizing over the departure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Where is that golden avatar who could save my life?" The farmers told him, "He has just left." And he left very swiftly. When Vasudev heard that his only hope had left, he became so overwhelmed with feelings that he fell down in a faint. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had already traveled a considerable distance, you know, a few miles, became aware of this unfortunate soul. He is the Lord in everyone's heart. He knew how the eagerness in Vasudev's heart to meet him had reached a boiling point. And it is usually at that stage when the Lord sees that our initial inclination towards him has reached a boiling point in intensity where he cannot keep himself hidden from the devotees and appears to them. So Mahaprabhu became aware of what was going on in Vasudev's heart, and miraculously and mysteriously, by his inconceivable Shakti, he appeared suddenly in that Koma village before Vasudev, the leper. And he touched him and he said, "O Vasudev, I am here. O Vasudev, O Vasudev, open your eyes. The Lord for whom you are crying is standing before you." Finally, his words reached through the stupor or the faint of Vasudev, the leper, and he woke up and opened his eyes. Just imagine the bliss, the waves of ecstasies which ran through his being as he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu standing before him. The Lord had long arms which reached down to his knees. He had lotus eyes which extended to his ears. They were that large. He had broad shoulders and a very thin waist, much like you see when you look at the statue in the form of a lion. Broad shoulders, but very slim, a very slim waist. He had a very saffron or ochre small dress, and his feet, when he lifted them a little bit, were pinkish underneath, and there were signs on the feet and on his hands which were also pinkish. When Vasudev saw the beauty of the Lord, he fainted again. Understandably. And again Mahaprabhu said, "O Vasudev, aham atra," meaning in Sanskrit, after all in South India, "I am here." Vasudev again looked, and as he looked through the veil of his tears, he again became aware of the extraordinary beauty of the Lord. One biographer describes that beauty in a poem. He once passed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he sat on the banks of the Ganga. He said, "Is this the God of love who sits there with an effulgence of 10 million cupids?" Then he answers his own question and says, "No, by no means, because the beauty of Cupid agitates the heart and makes it restless, but the beauty of my Lord Gauranga pacifies the heart and soothes it." This is not the God of love of this world. He's the transcendental God of love beyond this world. So Mahaprabhu was seen through the veil of tears by Vasudev. Then Mahaprabhu showered his compassion upon that speechless person. He knew why Vasudev had come. He was in need of some mercy, in desperate need. He bowed down low, embraced with his arms, which can chase away all the fears of material existence, Vasudev. And as he embraced Vasudev, all the open sores, where the pus from the inside of the body, the pus from the terrible disease, they were just there, moved away from Vasudev's body. You must know that Vasudev was himself such a compassionate person that he was merciful to all living entities, including the worms who feasted in the open wounds of his body. He would sometimes, overcome with his love for God, raise and start to dance, and when he did so, the worms would, by his powerful dance steps, and when he would spin, they would fall out of his wounds. And you know what that rare soul did? He went after the worms like a preacher goes after a lost soul. And he placed them back into their habitation that is his own body. So when Vasudev was lifted up by the embrace of the Lord and saw how his diseased body turned into the most beautiful body, he started to lament. He was not after a beautiful body. He was after the mercy of the Lord, which is different than, which has a different effect than the material benefit. He said, "My Lord, this is dangerous. I'm a neophyte. I will identify with my body. It is very dangerous. I might forget you. It was better when I had this diseased body." Do you know that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur recommended that his disciples would remove all mirrors from their rooms? He said, mirrors increase the bodily identification. If you see yourself in the mirror, you might think you are the body and not an eternal soul. No, this is when a conditioned soul sees his body, he is sometimes apt to identify with it. Hridayananda Maharaj tells a story from Miami. They had built a skyscraper, yet another one, and had sold some of the apartments, but then the sales stopped because the potential buyers who went up in the escalator complained, "This escalator is the slowest of the slowest escalator." It was not going zzzm, but it was going zzzm. They did not want to waste any time in an escalator waiting to reach their apartments. So the sales of the apartments stopped. It was a financial ruin. Until one clever advisor to the company advised the owners of the skyscraper, "Why don't you put just mirrors in the escalators and see what happens?" So they put mirrors inside, and then the customers bought like anything. But they had one complaint. This
escalator is too fast. We are just spending a jolly good time, as we would say in Australia, in the escalator, and already we have reached so quickly. Yes, bodily identification is something which is perpetuating the material disease. And Vasudev thought, I'm now in danger. My leprosy has reduced my identification with the body, but this beautiful body which I have now by the grace of the Lord might increase my identification with this body. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pacified Vasudev and he said, no, do one thing. Preach about the glories of Krishna. Speak about Krishna. Glorify Krishna. And in this way you will not be overcome by illusion. And if you do so, you will meet me again in this place. Saying this, he left Vasudev. And Vasudev, feeling the pangs of separation, fainted again. This is how Mahaprabhu spread Krishna consciousness throughout the subcontinent of India. He would meet people, inculcate or imprint Krishna consciousness in their hearts, and then tell them they should stay where they are, but they would not fall into illusion if they would just spread the glories of Krishna consciousness and themselves become compassionate servants of mankind. This in itself would protect them from illusion, and they would actually be able to transcendentally meet the Lord again. This is also something which we might take with us from such a retreat. We have been blessed, hopefully, with some new insights into our spiritual life. Now it's important that we are living the crown of our tree of life and become compassionate workers for mankind. If we do so, the Lord will stay with us and protect us from all the illusions of material life. What is a spiritual life without being compassionate and remaining self-obsessed? To illustrate this, I like to tell you another brief story. It's about a man who went into a cave in the Himalayas to meditate. But after 8 years, he felt unsuccessful. His mind was still disturbed. It was the same. He decided, this doesn't work for me. And he left the cave to go back to his village. On the way, he saw a man. The man sat before a totally broken piece of cloth. It was very broken. And he tried to put And he rubbed with one thread on an iron pole, like this. And he asked him, what are you doing? Oh, here the man said, I'm trying to sew. You have to help me. Is it sew or saw? I believe it's saw. Through the iron rod so that I can use it as a needle for my broken piece of cloth. What? With one thread you're trying to disintegrate an iron rod? You are very patient. Yes, he says, eventually it will work. Eventually I will make a needle out of this. Wow, said the man. This man is willing to spend an unlimited amount of years, or long amount of years, to prepare an iron rod to make it into the needle. And I meditate only 8 years and hope to be enlightened. I better go back into my cave and start meditating again. And he tried again. But after 4 years, he felt dry in his heart and unsuccessful. And again decided, let me go back to my village. Now, while he was on the way, he saw a little mouse eating a big rock. What was the mouse doing? He looked closer and he could see that that rock had somehow fallen before the hole of the mouse. And the mouse was trying to break the rock by gnawing on it. It's something which dentists would not recommend to do. Again he thought, my God, is the mouse patient? And I'm so impatient? Only after 12 years I give on, this mouse will lead a long time, maybe a few lifetimes. And again he went back. But after 4 years, he still felt dry. And he thought, I just can't make it. I'm an ordinary person, let's face it. And he took the long march from the Himalayan mountains down to the valleys and then to his village. He arrived in his village when the sun was just setting. As he was walking down the main street in the village, he saw on the side of the road a dog who had pus in his eyes and a wound in the broken hind leg. Most probably a bullock cart had driven over the dog by mistake, and the dog had this broken leg and was really suffering. For the first time in his life, the man felt something he had never felt before. He took his bowl, his only possession. He quickly moved to the river and he got some water for the dog, brought it to him, and the dog emptied the bowl of water. The man went a second time and a third time. When he came back the third time, he saw in the place of the dog, that is, where the dog was lying before, a heavenly being. And that heavenly being, full of light, told him, now go back to the Himalayan mountains and meditate. And this time you will be successful in converting your desert-like heart. He recognized that this was a Mahajan, a great soul, and he followed that advice in faith in his words. He reached his cave, he sat down to meditate, and with one stroke, only after a short time, he could cross over the boundaries
of his ego and come to a state of deep absorption. My dear devotees, it may be that compassion, which was taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Leela of saving Vasudev the leper, and which is the essence of this story also, might well be the key which will open the treasures of your own spiritual life. That compassionate attitude, where you really think of the welfare of others, could well be that missing link in your spiritual life. You can manifest your compassion, or you can have a forum for your compassion by trying something for the benefit of others. It can be very simple as offering others prasadam, for instance. The neighbor has a birthday. You can bring prasadam cream cake to them. Or you can do something which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had asked his devotees to do. Have sanghas in their houses where they come together in the evening, discuss Bhagavad Gita and sing the names of the Lord, and then sit down and take some little prasadam. The tree of life teaches us that just like a tree is not complete without a crown, a human being is not yet complete. Even if he is taking care of his spiritual life, if he lacks compassion. Today was our crown of the Tree of Life Day, and I very much encourage you to ponder about this, to think of the three steps of developing compassion, to also keep in mind what can help you when you feel a compassion fatigue, in other words, not really able to do something for the benefit of others because you still feel so needy and insecure inside of you. It will please contemplate healthy self-care. And the wonderful diagram which we saw, where we can balance between compassion on one side and proper and mature self-care on the other. The three items of the tree of life tell us to take care of ourselves. The roots tell us also to take care, to serve Krishna. But it is an individual affair. Physical well-being and emotional well-being, but it is not complete without the fourth dimension, that is being good in relationships and approaching them with a feeling of empathy and selfless giving. There's so much to tell, but I will now request our Sri Prahlad to come and be so kind to join us on this stage. We will just move a little bit the items around here. Thank you very much. All the best. And Hari Hari Bol. I think Prahlad, you should sit here.
Oh, Maharaj, just stay there, please.
Yeah, but the Madanga, is it there? Yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.